So I guess just first off, what's your reaction today?
Well, we're just blown away. We're just amazed and gratified that the justices were able to see the truth and vacate the sentence. So we're just so excited.
What are your attorneys telling you about the chances of a retrial?
Pretty slim, considering that there is no evidence as for the state, and the only two witnesses have admitted that they committed perjury, and that their perjured testimony was aided and abetted by Prosecutor Crane. So, who would be the first witness?
Yeah. And so, is there going to be any contact with the state or anything like that? I don't know what the attorneys are doing. I know it's only been hours now, but.
Well, the process is that they will contact the state, which they already have, and the state has 15 days, which is the shortest time anyone's ever been given, to decide whether or not they want to try Ryan again. So the state is deciding now, and actually that decision will be made here in Boone County. So that really means that Dan Knight, the local prosecutor, will be making the decision whether he wants to retry Ryan or not. So it's all on him now. And bear in mind, he was the second chair during Ryan's fraudulent trial in the first place, which Crane orchestrated lies and false police reports and whatever. So he would be a part of that. So I wouldn't think that he'd really want to reopen that chapter. But if he does, well, we welcome it.
And for now, I know I tried to get a hold of Dan Knight, and he basically at this point just issued a short statement that said, I have to talk to the Attorney General before I say anything.
I'm sure. Believe me, he does not want to go public with this.
Sure. So I guess, too, so that 15 days, like you said, is there any chance you think that he'd be out before then, or is it likely going to take?
I truly believe he'll be out before the 15 days.
Did you actually think this day would come? I mean, I know you've been working so hard on it, but.
Yeah. I always knew. It wasn't a question if, it was a question when, because there is nobody to the cases without merit. There is no merit.
Is it still a little surreal, though, that the day's really here? I mean, you have to feel like you're dreaming.
I've got to love you right here. I know where I am now. I always knew it was going to happen, but now that it is here, it doesn't seem real. And with all the press calling, it's starting to seem real more and more of the time. But when I can actually sit down for a quiet moment and reflect on it and actually see Ryan and give Ryan a hug, then I'll know it's real.
Have you all talked to Ryan yet?
Yes, we talked to him first thing this morning. We talked to Kathleen Zillner, his attorney, first thing this morning. And we're going to have a press conference this afternoon with Kathleen at 4:15 at the Tiger in the Black and Gold Room.
Okay, we'll probably try to be there. What did Ryan say when you talked to him?
Oh, he was just so relieved and so happy. But at the same time, he realizes that that's one chapter behind him, but he's got another chapter, which is the state's still trying to convict him. We think the state will try to pursue that, even though they don't have evidence, even though they don't have any credible witnesses. We can see them going to the Supreme Court and asking to have his sentence overturned or his vindication overturned and pursue the case. And it almost seems like that they're not so interested in justice. They're just interested in maintaining a conviction.
Sure.
So he knows he's got that whole thing to go through now.
Sure. Well, and, you know, that's another thing people speculate about, too. I mean, you know, many times when people are released after long sentences, you know, there'll be lawsuits and things like that. Do you know if that's something you guys will pursue?
You know what? We haven't even got there yet. First thing that we're concerned about is getting him out of the prison and reuniting our family. And then we'll discuss our options in the future at that time.
Sure, sure. One other thing, is it interesting to you at all, know is to me, that it's this Brady, it's the testimony of Trump's wife and not the recantations that are the issue here? I mean, really, like, that's kind of a detail. The other things were the things that, you know, when they recanted their entire testimony, that seems a little bit more severe than, you know, one thing being left out.
Yeah, I know. But here's the way the court system seems to work, is that they look at the most egregious act. And from their point of view, from a legalized point of view, the Brady violation is the most egregious thing that a prosecutor could do. Well, suborned perjury He actually did commit subordinate perjury, but they didn't push that. They went with Robert Trump because that was the most provable one. And there were numerous things that they could have used. Numerous Brady violations, the two recantations that you spoke of. They could have used any one of those, but they decided to focus on Robert Trump. That was the easiest one, the most convincing. But there were many others as well.
Is it just because they can put that on prosecutors, the other stuff you could put on the witnesses themselves? Is that kind of it,
yes.
your read of it?
I think they're trying to keep the slate sort of open I don't know the answer to that. I guess that's the best answer I can give.
Sure, sure. One last thing. Charles Erickson, what do you think happens with him now? Do you have
well,
you want to talk about that?
We're going to do everything we can do to help free him because we believe he's totally innocent. And he was manipulated by false testimony, by false police reports, and by a tissue of lies, a case that had no merit. And since he blacked out, he didn't remember anything. And he was convinced from the false police reports and the false confessions that they were going to give him the gas chamber. And so they convinced him that he committed the murder, even though he couldn't remember. And then he realized, since they didn't call any of those false witnesses, those false people, the people that wrote those false police reports, to come forth and testify, then that was very telling that they'd made that up. So all those false police reports and testimony, the prosecutor didn't call any of those people as witnesses. That's when he realized that they'd made all that up. So he's innocent. He is totally innocent, and we're going to help free him.
Okay. I know you got a lot else to do, so that's all I really needed, unless there's something
okay.
else you want to add or anything that
no?
we missed.
Oh, well, yeah, there is one more thing. We're telling all the press this, is that we're offering a $10,000 reward for anybody can identify the person that Sean Hart did a composite of an individual that was in the parking lot that came out behind the car. That person was not Ryan Ferguson. It was not Charles Erickson. He was what we call the missing link. And we're offering a $10,000 reward for anybody that can help us identify and find that particular individual. Once we find the missing link, then we'll be able to prove who committed the murder.
Okay. So that offer still stands, even if Ryan's
Absolutely.
Out.
We're renewing that as of today. I officially did that on 48 hours this morning. And it's the same as a billboard I put up just 6 months ago. And we're still pursuing that.